The message this morning is submission and connection to God, Daniel's story. And I want to take you to the book of Daniel. But before we go to, you can go ahead and turn there, Daniel 1. But before we go there, I want to read a verse from 2 Kings 20, verse 18. So Hezekiah had been sick. And after that, the king of Babylon had sent, he had heard that Hezekiah was sick, and he sent some men to visit Hezekiah. And Hezekiah showed him all the wealth that was there in the temple and his own wealth. And Isaiah came to him and had some admonishment for him. And he made a prophecy in verse 18. Verse 17, "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Isaiah was telling Hezekiah that his sons, his future, this was 114 years before this actually happened. But he's saying, those that come after you are going to be taken to another land and put into bondage. They become eunuchs in service to another king. I had to think, was Daniel a descendant of Hezekiah? Was he a prince? Very likely he was. And we think of the story of glory to servanthood, how Daniel was one of those princes. He was one of the important people. And he went to simply being a servant in another land to another king. Take you to Daniel 1. I want to read verses 1 to 4. This is Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled. Daniel 1, verse 1. "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such that had ability in them to stand in the king's place, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Verse 3 here, that says, the king spoke to the master of his eunuchs. He told the king to get, he told this master of the eunuchs to get some of these young men. And it doesn't tell us for sure, but it would seem like he had made them also to be eunuchs. A eunuch was expected to serve the king only. No time for family, no time for self, simply service to someone else. And this someone else was a very proud king that was willing to ruin the lives of others so that they could serve him. Very selfish. Daniel's sole purpose was to serve a self-centered man. Daniel could have no wife, no children, no grandchildren. There was no choice of his own. How could Daniel be an influence of good to the generations that would come after him if his choice of posterity was taken away from him? We do know that Daniel was a tremendous influence that came after him. And how could that be? How could somebody who had so much taken away from him, ripped from his own country land and taken to a far land, how could that be? I wonder if Daniel knew about Isaiah's prophecy. If Daniel knew that Isaiah prophesied that the king's sons would be taken to a far land and this would happen to them, if he knew that, do you think it made it easier to accept? We don't know all that. But we have prophecies in our day. We're told that the deception is going to get worse and worse. If we know that and we accept that, will it make it easier to live in the times that we are living in as it gets worse and worse? Can we accept the present situation that we find ourselves in? The first half of the message, I want to focus on Daniel's submission to God. I want to take you to verse 8. Submission to God calls us to live by conviction, and we see that here. Daniel had just got into the land of Babylon, and he had been offered, verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. It says here that his conviction was that he would not defile himself. It doesn't say here that I know of that this meat was specifically offered to the idol of the king, but I believe it probably was. They were commanded not to eat meat which had been offered to idols. They were also commanded not to eat some of the meat that might have been put before them. I know that Daniel was not a vegetarian because later in the book it talks about him eating meat. However, in this case, he did reject those nice things that he was offered because of his conviction. And his conviction was because of his submission to God. Some of us have agendas. We might have an agenda to be successful in business. We might have an agenda to be somebody important, a well-respected individual in the church or the community. We might have an agenda to preserve our lifestyle of ease and prosperity. We might have an agenda that we hope the right person gets elected to the government so that this world doesn't get worse and worse. Daniel had one agenda, and that one agenda was to stay true to his God, and he just left everything else up to God. He had one thing he was focused on, and everything else God was going to work out. I had to think of somebody else in the Bible, examples. At the end of our Sunday school lesson there, it talked about the Old Testament stories being for an example for us. Now I think about the story of David, how he had been anointed king. But it went for a period of time. He was chased through the wilderness, the wild, and his life was threatened over and over again. But he refused to fulfill God's prophecy that he would be a king in his own strength. He allowed God to fulfill his prophecy in his own time. Then he finally became king. And then he allowed 7 more years for all the tribes of Israel to submit to his kingship, allowing God to work things out in his own time. And then in his older years, his own son decided he was going to be king. And David again ran for his life. But he also again refused to take the life of his son because of the threat to his throne, because he allowed God to work things out the way that God wanted them to be. And he was willing to submit to whatever that would be. We see that here in Daniel. Daniel did not have a family like Joshua, but we can imagine him saying, as for me, I will serve the Lord. I will simply do the next right thing that God wants me to do. I will do it as well as God gives me the strength to do it. His identity was in his God, just like we heard about in the devotional. Where is our identity? I'll take you to chapter 2. Submission to God allows us to trust our lives to God's protection. When we give everything up to God, we also give him our protection. I've recently listened to the message of somebody that preached one on politics. And he said, if we're not willing to fight for our rights, then we have no rights. We do not even have the right to self-protection, but we trust God for that. And that's what Daniel here, chapter 2. The king had a dream that troubled him, but he forgot his dream, and he called in all the wise men. He said, you need to tell me the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Now, I don't think this ever happened before, because they seemed to be taken so off guard by it. They said, there's only the gods can tell you what the dream was. We can tell you the interpretation, but we cannot tell you the dream. And that was true. We do know that only God, not the gods, but the God, only God could know that. Verse 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. So the king got so frustrated they were not willing to tell him what the dream was, because if they couldn't tell him what the dream was, then they could just make up whatever interpretation they wanted if he were to tell them the dream. So he said, how do I know you're telling me the truth if you can't tell me the dream? Which is very true. So he commanded them all to be slain, and of course the wise men included Daniel and his three friends. The decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. We see here that Daniel didn't even know what was happening. Daniel was not putting himself at the forefront. He was not involved. Where were they? They were out of the loop. They were not running with the important crowd. They were the last to find out what was going on, and their life was at stake. They had to find out why. In verse 14, we see that Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Daniel wasn't panicking because his life was at stake. He answered with counsel and wisdom because he knew his life was in God's hands. He didn't have to panic. However, we do know it was very real to him. Verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show. That he would show the king the interpretation. We see Daniel's trust in God's protection. He told the king that God will show you the interpretation. We look at the faith that Daniel had. The faith in God's power enabled him to tell the king that. Submission to God caused Daniel to ask for prayer. I told you Daniel wasn't panicking, but he was very concerned. I want to read verses 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He knew his life was in imminent danger. The king had come around to round them up for execution. And what were they going to do? Well, they were going to gather together in prayer and cry out to God for deliverance. Daniel didn't just go by himself. No, he knew he needed more than just himself. He called out to others to join him in prayer. He understood the power of prayer, especially the power of joint prayer of the saints. We recently enjoyed a revivals, and our evangelist shared a story. I share some of it here for him. Their newborn was in the hospital, just been born, and his wife had been diagnosed with COVID. It was over that time, and she was not allowed to go into the hospital to see her baby. And due to some health situations, the situation of the newborn's health, they were afraid the baby would not even live. And his wife was distraught. And he tried everything in his power, trying to convince the nurses and the doctors, saying, "Can you just let my wife in? She needs to see her baby." Nope, nothing. The rules are the rules. What he didn't know is that the sisters back home were praying around the clock. And the next morning on his way to the hospital, he got the call that his wife could come in and see the baby. It was such a huge answer to prayer, powerful testimony of the power of joint prayer. God knows we need each other, and together we need God. Submission makes us dependent, not independent. There's none of this 21st century, my God and I. No. That's not who we are. We are part of a brotherhood that seek God together. Verse 19. We read here, chapter 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. After they came to the Lord in prayer, after they fell on their knees and beseeched God for deliverance, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. It says it was in a night vision. But I have a hard time believing that it was a dream, because I have a hard time believing that Daniel was sleeping that night. I think he was awake, wide awake. There was so much on his mind, you can only imagine. But he got a vision. an answer to prayer. And then Daniel came back to God with a prayer of thanksgiving, verse 20. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Get that? "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." We see here that Daniel knew God was in control. This wisdom that he wanted could only come from God. And when God revealed it to him, he was blessing God in return. Submission to God causes us to stay humble. I want to take you to verse 27 here in chapter 2. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king." Nobody else can show this to the king. "But I, Daniel, have understanding in all visions and dreams." No, your Bible doesn't say that. I get that from verse 117. "And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." But Daniel did not say, "I have understanding in all visions and dreams." No, what did he say? Verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, more than anybody else. I'm not smarter than anybody else. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart, and that me and my friends won't die." I'll just add that on the end there. Daniel knew where the wisdom came from. It was not from himself. He did not take glory to himself. He told the king where it came from. "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have." He wasn't even claiming a little bit of that. It only came from God. God knew who revealed the dream, and God knew what his role was. His role was to be a simple messenger of God's truth to the king. He was simply that in-between person. Did he tell his friends, "Hey, did you notice? I saved your lives. You need to thank me because I went into the king and I saved your lives"? No, we don't read any of that. We see humility. Submission to God calls us to stay humble. I want to hop over to chapter 5, 16 and 17. And turn over there with me. Just going through the book of Daniel. I read the book of Daniel recently. I was so impressed by his submission to God. Chapter 5, 16 and 17. "And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts." Now this is a new king. This is Belshazzar. He's telling Daniel, "I heard that you can do this and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writings and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet." Kingly color, wealth, "and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." He's going to have wealth and he was going to be important. These are the two things that appeal probably to every man. This is promised to him. Verse 17, "Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." So we see here, Belshazzar was partying. And he pulled out those dishes that we read about, all those out of the temple, probably the gold and the silver that we read about in the first verses of chapter 1. He pulled them out of the house of the god, and they were using them to party with. And as they were partying, this hand came up and started writing on the wall. And you can only imagine how terrified we would be if a hand all by itself came up here and started writing on the wall. And Belshazzar's knees were just knocking against each other. He was so scared. And he brought all his astrologers, his wise men, but they couldn't read the words. One thing you're going to notice in every one of these stories throughout Daniel is Daniel was always called last. He was not called first. They couldn't read the words. And then in verse 9, it tells us that Belshazzar went from his knees knocking, he was that scared, to his countenance changing. He went from scared to really, really, really scared. Even his own wise men couldn't help him. We all know the story. The queen said, hey, there's a man that I know about, probably you should know about, that's been known to tell the dreams. He could probably interpret this. So they called him. Verse 13 to 15. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. This king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of jewelry? I haven't even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, had been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. I mentioned that Daniel was always called last. After they tried every other source, they tried Daniel. They always think of me last. Why couldn't I be first for once? Did that ever go through your mind? Did Daniel struggle with this? I have to wonder. But we know time after time after time that God receives glory. When people try everything else, and realize that that doesn't work. And then God steps in and provides deliverance. And that's when God really receives glory. So God's working. And as we're submitted to God in humility, God can work. I'm going to take you to chapter 4. Submission to God gives us the bravery to tell the inconvenient truth. I'm sure all of you probably have been somewhere where you were afraid to tell the truth. And of course, the temptation to say something other than the truth. Daniel chapter 4. We're back to Nebuchadnezzar here. Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. But this dream was about judgment on Nebuchadnezzar himself. And once again, he called all the other astrologers, wise men, and finally got to Daniel. He said, Daniel, can you tell me the interpretation of this dream? Chapter 4, verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, it's actually he was named after Nebuchadnezzar's god. He was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. What do you think Daniel was thinking about when he was just stunned for a whole hour? The king said, hey, I want an answer, and Daniel just sat there for a whole hour. Just stunned into silence. He realized the interpretation of the dream and he was scared to tell it to the king. He didn't want to tell it to the king. This is the king that almost killed him and his friends on a whim earlier because they couldn't do the humanly impossible, telling him what his dream was. This is the king that got so furious when Daniel's 3 friends refused to bow down to that idol. He cranked that furnace heat up 7 times more than normal and had them thrown into that fire to destroy them. This is that king that Daniel's talking to right now. But Daniel also knew that God was able to deliver his 3 friends from that fiery furnace. I can only imagine the stories that those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to say when they came home that day and said, Daniel, you cannot believe what happened today. And the testimony and the encouragement that must have been to them. Daniel had learned earlier to trust his life into God's hands, and he once again he passed the test. Back to verse 19 here in chapter 4. And the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, Daniel answered, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee. I wish this dream was for somebody else, your worst enemy, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong. And it goes on to say that that is you. And he went on to give, verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. There's still a little bit of fear there. And break off thy sins by righteousness. King, stop sinning. Maybe thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility, thy peace. He's saying, if you do these things, this judgment might hold off. And it went a whole year before he was judged. I believe the king did do some of these things that Daniel told him to do, but it was a year later when the king in his pride stood up and said, look what I've done. And that's when the judgment came down on him. We're talking about the submission to God's will, giving us the bravery to tell the inconvenient truth. What happens when my life, when my reputation, when my relationships are on the line, am I willing to tell the truth no matter what? This takes us to part two of the message. Daniel's example of connection to God. We're talking about submission. Now we're talking about connection. Who of us would not want to be connected to a God whose power, almighty power, is greater than anything else that exists? Why would we not want to be connected to such power? It's a power that we can never attain to ourselves. That connection is amazing. But what if that connection to God would depend on my submission and self-denial? What if I would have to die to myself to get that connection to God? And then things start looking different. Connection to God requires humility and submission. We already talked about that. Daniel's humility and submission is the example that he showed to us. I want to read to you 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. There it talks about submission. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. This is not my God and I. This is brotherhood, subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. You're going to get that humility off the shelf and you're going to wrap yourself in it. It's a choice, a decision we make to be clothed with humility. Why would we do that? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Okay, we all want grace, and none of us wants to be resisted by God. So the answer is submit one to another. Submission. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When we try to exalt ourselves in pride, we face the resistance of God over and over again, like Saul kicking the pricks. But when we submit to God and allow God's will to take place in our lives, we give it all up to him. Then God may exalt us in due time, whatever that is, whatever his will, whenever that time is, whether it's this life or another. Connection to God requires repentance. We'll take you to Daniel 9. If you're still in Daniel, you can page over to chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 2 to 6. In the first year of his reign, this is Darius, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. Daniel gave attention to reading. Whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. I ask you this morning, whose sins is Daniel confessing? We. This is brotherhood. This is identifying with God's people. We have sinned. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. I want to hop over to verse 20 and 23 of Daniel 9, same chapter. And while I was speaking and praying, Daniel went through a long confession here. We don't have time to read the whole thing. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing, what's it say? When I was confessing what?
My sin.
My sin. Okay, it was we have sinned. Now Daniel's saying, I have sinned. I was confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. I told you this is about connection to God. Connection to God requires repentance. Daniel was praying a prayer of repentance, and at the beginning of that prayer, Gabriel started coming to him, to minister to him. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, Daniel. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. When we repent, God connects. Connection to God is aided by perseverance in prayer. And I get that from these verses we just read. Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed three times a day, and I don't think those were, maybe they were memorized prayers. I can't say if they were or they weren't. But I know they were heartfelt, because we know that he was willing to do it no matter what. We'll get there later. But we know that prayer brings God's power closer to us. It was at the beginning of the supplications the commandment came forth. So God knew that Daniel was bowing his head to repent of his sins and the sins of his people. And God said, I want to connect with that man. I put a command out. Gabriel, you want to go connect with Daniel? Daniel's connection to God makes me jealous. But I'm not jealous of all Daniel had to go through to get there. We don't know what all is happening in the spirit world, but we do know that when we pray, we come to God in perseverance and prayer and repentance and calling on his name, that God sends a connection to us. How often do we feel that we're just praying and praying and praying? It just doesn't feel like we're reaching God. We aren't feeling the connection. Next time you're feeling that, stop and ponder. Did God already send the angel and he just did not get to you yet? We don't understand the whole spirit world. To me, it seems a spirit. He's there, now he's here. There's no time involved, no waiting, immediate. But it doesn't seem like that's what happened, especially as we go on. Our habit of prayer draws us closer to God. We also see a connection to God is aided by fasting. And I get that here from Daniel 9:3. We read that verse. To seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Chapter 10, 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. We see here in this case, it was not a total fast. But he was denying himself the comforts that he normally would enjoy for 3 weeks. Verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And I have to wonder what those men felt. What would make them start quaking if they could not see what Daniel was seeing? Doesn't tell us. But I had to wonder if those other men were living in total submission to God. Were they living a life of humble service? Were they praying three times a day? Were they fasting for 21 days straight? Were they chasing themselves before God? We're not told that. But we are told that Daniel was. And Daniel alone saw the vision. So if you want a connection to God. Verse 12, 13. This gets us back a little bit to what we were talking about before. I wanted to get here. This is so interesting to me. 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. There's your 21 days. That's the 3 weeks that Daniel was mourning. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. The spirit world to me is so fascinating. We just get a tiny little window in this spirit world. And this angel is coming to minister to Daniel, and he's held up by the forces of evil. And he calls on Michael to help him. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. The very first day that Daniel started fasting, an angel was sent to him. But it took 21 days of Daniel's perseverance in fasting and prayer for the angel to get to him and for the answer to Daniel to come to him. If you're ever tempted to give up, here's your story. Connection to God leads us to a sober reality. And this is so true for Daniel. Let's hop back to chapter 7, verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, my thoughts, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. When Daniel was exposed to the truth, when his connection to God was so strong that some of this stuff was revealed to him, he kept the matter in his heart. He was so troubled. I had to think about Mary. When she was observing her son, Jesus, and all these abnormal things were happening, it says Mary pondered these things in her heart. So often we ponder things in our heart. We're like, what is going on? Chapter 8, 26 and 27. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And here's Daniel's reaction. And I, Daniel, fainted. Daniel had a fainting spell from seeing this vision. And he was sick for certain days, doesn't tell us how long. His strength, his humanity, his human strength was gone. His connection to God was strong, but his human strength fled him. God doesn't need our human strength. God needs a connection to us. God doesn't need a connection to us. We need a connection to God. And it's through that that we can find spiritual strength. I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Connection to God sometimes leads us to a sober reality. Connection to God connects us to his people. We already talked about how Daniel pleaded with his friends to pray with him. We know how strong that bond was with he and his three friends. We already know that here in the book. But in my study, I came across something else that I found interesting. This is not in the Bible, so I cannot preach it as positive truth, but we are told by Jewish history that there was a group called the Men of the Great Assembly. There was 120 scribes, sages, and prophets. I want to read this to you. prior to the return of the Jews to Judea in 3413, 348 BC, the leading Jewish scholars of the time convened to form the most prestigious assembly of Jewish scholarship in recorded history, known as the, I'll put it in English, Men of the Great Assembly. Now listen to these names. Among them were Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Nehemiah, Mordecai, Zerubbabel, and many others. I also found that Mishael and Ezra, two more, were listed from another source. You start reading all the who's who of the Old Testament prophets. They were connected. Daniel knew how important it was to connect to his people. I don't know. I didn't study into this, the time frame of all that. This could have been something that was going for a couple generations, and some of these men came after Daniel and didn't know him personally. But I talked to you at the beginning about how could Daniel influence others for the good. And right here's how he did it. A connection to God's people. And just the who's who of the prophets and the tremendous influence that these men had on the children of Israel from that time on. A person connected to God will not forsake the assembling of the saints together. Church attendance is going to be important to us if we desire connection with God. In closing, let's take up the challenge to deepen our connection with God through submission, more prayer, more fasting, more submission to God, more dependence on Him for every need, more dependence on the brotherhood, more sacrificial living, and more realizing our inadequacy before God. Those things that we men want come by denying ourselves, giving it all to God, and then God will give us more than we ever dreamed or imagined, maybe in a different way. How strong is your connection to God? How willing are you to submit to Him and the brotherhood?